Good evening, and you're very welcome to this week's Global Village with me, Dilbrik Rumsinga. And for the next hour, we'll be bringing you to the core of the latest social justice and mental health stories by speaking to those who are affected by the issues in an effort to raise your awareness and, who knows, even inspire you to be part of the change. On Global Village tonight, over 1,322 children are being educated at home in Ireland. We hear the stories of some of the homeschooling families and why it works for them. And in the week that two homeless people have died in Ireland, we hear how almost 20 babies have been born into homelessness. The text line here is 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. Email us on globalvillage@newstalk.com, or you can join the conversation on Twitter at globalvillagent. This week, there was some good news when it comes to diversity in the media, as Zainab Boladale from Ennis, County Clare, has become the news presenter on News Today, RTE's news service for young audience, and is the first RTE news anchor of Afro-Irish heritage. So I can finally say, officially, I am no longer the only migrant of colour working in mainstream Irish media. Yippee! Zainab was born in Lagos in Nigeria, but has lived in Ennis since she was 4 years old. The first-time television presenter secured her new job following a call-out to media and journalism graduates across the country and a comprehensive audition process. But she has chosen to join the team and began broadcasting live this week on RT2 and RT News Now. So if you're listening, Zainab, I know I'm not alone in wishing you a successful career in media, and please do drop into Global Village for a chat, because we'd love to talk to you. My immediate reaction to the story was, well, it's about time, as positive representation in Irish media of migrants has been an old bugbear of mine. In fact, it was the main reason why I decided to work in media in the first place, as I was sick and tired of paying my TV license and not seeing anyone on Irish TV, radio or print that I actually identified with. There are many arguments that support the case for greater diversity in media. Well, let's start with the economic one, right? Currently, most migrants don't consume Irish media as they don't identify with it. Greater representation would increase viewership and listenership and attract more advertisers who cater to the migrant market. Another argument is, of course, variety and a fresh perspective that migrant journalists and contributors can give to mainstream issues that would enrich the national conversation. However, for me personally, the argument that stands out, because after all, before I'm a journalist, I'm an activist at heart, is that the Irish media, in particular the public broadcaster, has a responsibility to ensure greater representation, as this would not only provide positive role models to migrant children, but it would go a long way towards combating racism in Ireland. And at the moment, migrants are highlighted in media negatively. They're featured in development charity adverts, news stories about asylum seekers, unemployment or homelessness. And if a migrant storyline pops up in an Irish soap, often migrants are featured negatively. The Irish media needs to accurately reflect the rich diversity in Irish society. So migrants, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, Roma, travellers, people with disabilities, all kinds of women, ones who wear dresses and ones who like suits and ties like me, people from rural communities, accents of all kinds. The media has the power to open minds and break down barriers. So let's make the most of it. So that's what I think about diversity in the media. But what do you think? Do text in to 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. According to recent figures, the number of children being homeschooled in Ireland has almost doubled in 5 years. Statistics from TUSLA reveal that the number of children being educated at home has risen from 699 to 1,322 between the end of 2011 and December 2016. Well, joining me in studio to discuss the benefits of homeschooling and to answer some of your questions on the issue is Cora McCauley, homeschooling parent and PRO of Homeschool Education Network Ireland, and Niamh O'Connell, homeschooling parent. You're both very welcome to Global Village.
Thank you very much.
Now, first of all, let me set out my stall here. I am going to be homeschooling my kids, right? So let's get that out. So people listening to this are going to know that this is going to be an interview that is not going to be adversarial, because I find every time I hear any interview in Irish media about homeschooling, it's almost like they're trying to catch you out. They're like, what's wrong with you? Why would you want to be around your kids? Like, especially around September, most people are like, I'm delighted schools have started so I can get rid of my kids. But you guys are the opposite. Do you ever get tired of that, Cora?
Of the reaction of other people?
Yeah.
I'm used to it, but I suppose it depends on your own outlook as well. I'm very positive about it. It's been a really positive experience for me and for my family and for the kids. So I don't really notice any of the naysayers.
Sorry, just check this. go ahead. So let take me back to when you decided to actually homeschool your kids. What reaction did you get from your family?
Right. The children actually came to me and they asked about homeschooling. They had been looking into it.
Now, hang on. How old were your kids when they
Right.
did this?
This is a few years ago. So my children now are 16, 13, 11 and 9. And I made the decision with my husband to homeschool three of them, the three younger children. So they were like, say, 7, 9 and 11. And they were in school. They had been in the system for years. And they wanted a change. They found it all. I mean, we were lucky. The school is great. The teachers were great. You know, they really were exceptional. But the kids just wanted to step outside the system for a little while and kind of go on an adventure. And I kind of sold it to my husband that way for the first year, was just, let's have the adventure. Let's go travel a bit, you know, around Ireland. Let's see everything as a learning opportunity. So we did that with the kids for the first year. And of course, once we did that, we couldn't really.
I say the minds of our listeners, and including mine and my producers, they're just blue. Because when you just said, yeah, my kids came to me and asked me to be homeschooled, and you actually, and that's amazing. That says a lot about your kids. Like, mm-hmm. Wow, they're brilliant to actually be in that place where they have a thought and they're like, we're going to follow through and see if we can do mm-hmm. this. And then for you to actually listen to your kids, because that often wouldn't happen.
The first year I didn't.
They wore you down, Cora. They wore you down.
Because, no, it was so far outside my remit. You know, I went to college as well. I was in the system myself for so many years. I'm a chartered accountant. And it just seemed very, very strange or outside of my comfort zone to consider homeschooling them. But the more research I did and the more I see how children develop, confidence and their own abilities and a bit of self-awareness and self-responsibility, that I see now that it's actually a really good decision for, I'm not saying for every child, but certainly for children who come to you and ask you to homeschool.
Exactly. Any child listen to this, you'd be like, oh, I'm taking notes. I'll go to my parents tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Now, Niamh, tell me your story, because we know each other, of course, because I've attended a homeschooling meeting before. But what prompted you to homeschool your kids? Because you got four as well, isn't it?
I have three children.
Three, sorry.
They're 9, 6 and 2 now, two boys and a girl. And we've homeschooled from day one. They've never been in the school system. So I have a background.
The idea of a school is just alien for
it's
them.
It's very much theoretical for them, yeah. But I have a background in teaching and I spent a lot of my 20s subbing in primary and secondary schools. So I think it's fair to say I know the system well from the inside, from that point of view. And then when it came to raising my own children, I didn't want them to go down the traditional Catholic school route because we're not Catholic ourselves. And we were looking at other educational options. And in our area, there was just an Educate Together school, which had a very high, a very long waiting list. So we assumed we wouldn't get a place there. So we had to look at homeschooling as an option. And I remember my mom laughing to me when my son was three and saying, oh, you're going to end up homeschooling him. And I remember thinking, haha, no way. He's going to school in a year or two and I'm going to have my life back. But to be honest, when it came to it, we started homeschooling at four and then we ended up getting a place in the Educate Together, which we deferred for a year. And then we got on so well that first year, we deferred it for a second year.
Some parent out there was delighted because they got
to
your spot.
Yeah. So it just really works for our family. It's very... it's very holistic for us, and my husband and I are both in flexible jobs, so we share the childcare, share the homeschooling between us. I think it would be a different thing for me if I was at home with the children all week long and he was gone from a 9 to 5. So that would be a different challenge.
It's funny because homeschooling, again, was not something that I set out to do. It was home birth.
Right.
I went to a home birth meeting and then I went on to have a successful home birth. And then my wife just recently had a home birth as well. And somebody said, oh, once you go down the route of having a home birth, you start questioning everything. And they said, oh, next thing you know, you'll be using cloth nappies. And then you'll be using elimination communication where you'll be potty training them from the start. And then next thing you know, you'll be homeschooling them. And I'm like, no way. But here I am.
Don't forget the baby wearing and the co-sleeping.
Yeah,
of course.
Extended
breastfeeding
too. Of course.
I've ticked all those boxes except for the cloth nappies.
No. It's so funny. And just as opposed to throw in why I'm already thinking about homeschooling is because from a mental health point of view, and I think this is really important that I don't think comes across in the conversations. I work in mental health and we work with a lot of kids who are in the current, you know, schooling system that are experiencing mental health issues because of the pressure mm-hmm. that is. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that was that a factor? Do you feel kids nowadays are allowed to be kids, or is there enormous pressure on them?
That's a great point, because they're not allowed to be kids. They're not allowed to play. You know, everything is regulated and regimented. And I just think that the kids, they need to play and their brains won't evolve. They won't develop. You know, the neural pathways just won't be there. And I found when my children were in school, they were very dependent on me as a parent to tell them what to do, or the teachers in school to tell them what to do. And now that they're homeschooled, they do everything themselves. You know, they make the decisions. They're actually, they organize their day. We follow partly a curriculum, so they do Irish, maths and English every day. And then apart from that, they do play. But play could be a science experiment, you know, or it could be typing up a story, another chapter of an essay or a story on the laptop. You know, play is anything they want to do and they're curious about. So I think in school, they're very stressed and very anxious from an early age because they've got so many standardized tests every year and even every month, every week, and they have to perform. So it's hugely stressful.
And Eve, I know mental health is very close to your heart.
So, it is.
So I'd say that played a big part in your decision to homeschool your kids.
It is. And I did suffer burnout. I'll be the first to admit that it can be an intense lifestyle having your children around you all the time. And I really learned the hard way how to look after myself as a parent when I'm home with the kids all the time. So I do make sure I take regular breaks throughout the day. I'm reading books on paper rather than just looking at a screen. And I've had to enforce early bedtimes for myself. The kind of normal things that you don't always do, I've had to bring them in just to keep myself well and able to care for my family as well.
Because I know at this stage, I think it's been about 10 minutes since you're talking. I'm sure people listening must be screaming at the radio and wanting to ask the S question. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah?
Sex education.
Very good. What about socialization? Because that's what everyone, I'm sure if you had a penny or euro for every time somebody asked you that question. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I have to ask you. So what about socialization when it comes to your kids in homeschool?
Do you know what? It is a legitimate question. It's a legitimate concern of parents. So it has to be addressed. And children are, I find our kids, and I see it with other homeschooling children, there's no issue with socialization. They mix with their siblings, their parents, grandparents, cousins, neighbours. They go to evening, you know, classes. It might be sports. It could be drama, dance. So they do all the extracurricular stuff. And then, you know, they play with the kids in the neighborhood and they're involved in their communities. So socialization isn't an issue. I would say that in school, the socialization would be an issue because children in class are only allowed to mix with their own age all the way up. So an 8-year-old can only play with an 8-year-old. You know, in the school playground, they're not allowed to play with their siblings. You know, there are some schools where a boy might spend 14 years in school and never sit beside a girl, you know, and yet they talk about home educators that they aren't socialized.
Yeah.
So I don't see it as an issue. Certainly not.
No, yeah. Absolutely. Like with Phoenix, like he every day we go to the playground, and he'll talk to anybody, play with anybody, you know. And I think, God, putting him in a classroom, he's just going to get so bored. Because that's the other thing about being in a classroom setting for so long, you know, sitting and not being outdoors. I think homeschoolers, you guys spend so much time outdoors and doing things, you know, the kind of thing. In schools, people are waiting to go on a school trip. But for you guys, every day you could be having a trip out to a museum or to the zoo or wherever.
And we have the benefit of being able to go to those places at a time when they're quiet, you know, Monday to Friday.
Great
school
point.
Hours. So we really enjoy the zoo on a Tuesday morning when it's really empty and we get to see everything and spend our time looking at the exhibits, for example. And museums are the same. So we're very lucky in that way that we have access to all that on our doorstep, especially living in Dublin. I think it might be harder for homeschoolers who are living in a more rural area to provide those cultural...
Not really. I think they're very active. Yeah.
Oh, very good.
There are a lot of communities around the country and parents are great for taking the initiative and getting in touch with the museums or the aquariums and organising educational day outs.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it from a practical point of view. What does a day in the life of a homeschooling family look like? Okay, and I'm sure it's different for every family, but what does it look like for your family, Cora?
Okay, well, my children like to stay on top of books. So we do follow a little bit the curriculum and they go in. I don't pick their books, but they go in and they pick their own books in the bookshop around this time of year back in August, you know, so for their age, so for third class, fifth class, whatever they're in. And
because they know the system as well.
They know it as well, and they're more comfortable staying with it, you know, so... We do about 2 hours every morning of English, Irish and maths, one-to-one. I can give them that time. I'm an accountant. I work from home, but I can give them 2 hours, 4 days a week of that. And we cover an awful lot in that length of time because it is one-to-one. And then after that, it's play, you know, so I can go and I can do my own work and they can play. And then they have sports and everything in the evening.
Fabulous. So, and would they go to... classes would you have like a tutor for any other subjects or anything like that?
Not at all. No, they have no difficulty. I mean, I made a promise to one of my children who was a little bit anxious, and I said, "We will never turn a page that you don't understand," and we followed that through.
That's amazing. You know,
yeah.
Imagine if that was the case in like that sentence itself proves how homeschooling can work. Because the schooling system didn't work for me. You know, I failed my junior cert, you know, and you know, so many kids per teacher, you know, not everyone is going to be, you know, kids are different. They all learn differently at different speeds. So that's lovely what you said. Annie, what does homeschooling look like for you?
Well, we're unschooling, which means we don't follow a set curriculum as such, but we do feel, myself and my husband feel a responsibility that if the children ever decide to enter the school system, that they're not behind their peers. So we do buy the school books every September for the coming year, and sometimes for the year ahead if they're ahead in a certain area, which one of my sons is. So we are
not to brag or anything.
No, but it has been amazing to see him shoot on ahead of what his peers would be doing in maths, especially. So what we do is we do after breakfast, we clear the kitchen table and we sit down and we do about half an hour to an hour on their workbooks. It's usually literacy or numeracy. And then if it's a rainy day, they might go on the computer. And my elder son is doing Khan Academy, which is an online learning portal for science, for maths, for any subject really that you want. He's also using Duolingo for French. He's picking up a little bit of French, and I do oral Irish with the kids as well in the mornings. And even the 2-year-old is joining in and she's using some Irish words too. So I think you don't even have to differentiate when you're teaching one child. The others will pick it up in their own way too. And then my younger son is using Minecraft on the computer and he's doing Reading Eggs, which is a literacy program, which is also like a game. So that's their treat for having done their written work in the workbooks. They get to go on screens and do a little more educational stuff. And then we could be out for the day. We could be going to visit friends or going to the beach, catching the bus somewhere, or going for a cycle or up to the library. And we try and just involve ourselves in the local community as much as possible. So we organise a street feast every year and we plan that and put up the posters, and we just feel like it's really important to be part of a community and not be the different ones on the road, you know, not be the strange home educated family. I think we've integrated ourselves pretty well.
Very good. It's so cool because I can just see my life, like what it's going to look like in a couple of years' time. It's just so exciting. And talk to me about, because you have to go through TUSLA and there's a bit of paperwork to kind of register for homeschooling. Is that difficult?
No.
I feel I should be taking notes here.
It's quite straightforward. TUSLA is over the home educating community. So you do have to register with TUSLA when your child reaches 6 years of age. But that's quite simple. You get in touch with them. They send you out a form. You fill it in. You send it back. And then somebody comes out to assess to your house or to meet you. And it's with you, not the child. So they just run through how you plan on teaching your child a minimum standard of education.
So you get some support as well.
Well, you do. Yeah. You know, you can talk to them and they're actually very positive about it. Generally, you know, they see the benefits themselves over the years with home educating families. So there's usually not an issue.
That's fantastic. And then obviously your kids are still young, but obviously they're performing very well. But I'm sure in the homeschooling community in Ireland, you would know of kids who were homeschooled and then went off to college and so forth. So I know there's extensive research in the area to show that children that have been homeschooled fare, you know, when it comes to academically, they fare just as well and even sometimes better than the kids that were in school. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. I've seen it in my friends' families where the children have gone to college and they've got this love of learning from day one, which I think isn't always transpired through the school system, where they just have to rote learn to pass through an exam. Because they're getting critical thinking, they're getting to work on their own steam. And that's the way college works. And that's the kind of mentality you need for college. And I remember myself having come through the Leaving Cert and such this strict way of learning. When I got to college and suddenly I was asked what was my opinion on something, I was kind of looking around going, what is my opinion? Am I allowed to have one? What if I'm wrong? So, you know, that doesn't exist at home. We tell our children everything is correct. You know, whatever you believe is correct. So, you know, for me, just giving them a love of learning, I hope will carry them through, and they're able to research things on their own steam now, and they know where to go to follow up on a certain project. And that's only, you know, at the age of 9. So yes, Cora has the teenagers.
I do. I have 2 teenagers. And so that's fun. But
that's fun. Yay.
No, I find my 2 teenagers are actually gone. You know, they're in the school system. They're in secondary school because they choose to be there, you know, but they're enjoying it so much because they have the choice. But if they wanted to come out at any time, that would be fine. You know, they needn't. There are many ways to get to college if you want to do a particular course. It's not necessarily the Leaving Cert. You know, there's FETAC. You can do different courses around. Or very often a child will know when they're home educated by the age of 15 or 16 what they want to do. So they will just pursue that. You know, they will have a portfolio, or they will, you know, they'll have been doing classes on something that interests them. So there are many ways to get to where they want to go.
Anyone listen to this with questions, you know, the whole ethos behind homeschooling? I think we all believe that the primary educator of a child should be the parent, not the teacher, you know. Lastly, before you go, your website for anyone listening who wants to get involved and find out more?
Yes, great. The Home Education Network website is there. It's a mine of information. Any questions you might have usually will be answered there on the page, or there are contact officer numbers that you can call, and you can call your local contact officer and get in touch.
Fantastic. So my thanks to Cora McCauley, homeschooling parent and PRO of Homeschool Education Network Ireland, and Eva Connell, homeschooling parent. Thank you so much for joining us here on Global Village.
Thanks very much, Jess.